Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, I tell you what, we could do this. You guys tell me if you think we should do this. We should have a gut-filled clip for every hour of this show today. Or we could roll them all into 1 hour and just have some fun with it. But Joe Biden and Joe Biden and Dr. Jill, the visiting angel herself, was on The View yesterday for a series of softball questions. And yet, despite a series of softball questions, Joe Biden still looked like a crazy old kook. Man, if you haven't seen the video of it, he's just got I don't know what's going on with the guy. He's got the crazy eye thing going on, the crazy eyebrows thing. I don't know if it was a combination of plastic surgery and Botox combined with just being a crazy old kook on top of it all. But, man, he just looks like one crazy old kook. But whether we do all four in this hour of the show or one gut-filled clip for each hour of the show this morning here, let's go to the show opener, since it's our show opener right now. Greg Gutfeld, yeah, great program last night from the segment that I saw. They were recapping the Joe Biden view on The View, the Joe Biden appearance on The View.
You know who just stunk up The View. The Bidens joined The View this morning for the entire hour. The audience was caught off guard, but knew something was up when they saw a dozen Secret Service agents and two embalmers. There were a few awkward moments, though, when a confused Joe asked if he could bid on the showcase. But was he surprised Kamala lost?
I wasn't surprised because they went the route of the sexist route, the whole route. I mean, this is a woman, she's this, she's that. I've never seen quite as successful and a consistent campaign undercutting the notion that a woman couldn't lead the country and a woman of mixed race.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, you lying sack of
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're listening to the show right now, if we use one Gutfeld clip each hour of the show today, you just heard the best one right there, because Gutfeld's response there, you lying sack of Adam Schiff, I think sums up the way most of the country will react to that garbage on The View yesterday. Yeah, this whole garbage, oh, they were criticizing her because of her mixed race. They were criticizing her. I think Gutfeld later said, actually, it was because of the mixed drinks, not because of the mixed race. This idea that they criticized her for being a woman, are you kidding me? I don't remember the Trump campaign criticizing Kamala for being a woman. I do remember them criticizing Tampon Tim for being a woman, though, but not Kamala. Definitely I remember them criticizing Tampon Tim Walz, the Democrat governor from Minnesota that the Montana Democrats brought in to be their keynote speaker for their dinner this year. Yeah, they definitely made fun of him for being a woman. But, Kamala, no, they didn't go after her. Tim and Savage sent me the story from FoxNews.com about how this is the oh for Pete's sake moment where Biden tells The View he wasn't surprised Harris lost, blames sexism and racism, says the pasty old kook.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures will range from the mid-70s in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear and quiet. Temperatures head back to about 50 in Bozeman to 53 in Billings. And then looking at more sunshine Saturday with highs from 80 in Bozeman to the upper 80s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Probley.
Securing America.
The House Appropriations Committee held an oversight hearing for the U.S. Army this week as the budget process for fiscal year 2026 continues. California Republican Ken Calvert stressing the importance of the Army.
The U.S. Army is a force that remains the backbone of our nation's defense and the critical pillar in ensuring global stability.
Much of the discussion centered on maintaining that stability. General Randy George is the Army's chief of staff.
Commercial technology is rapidly evolving, especially AI and autonomous systems, and this is impacting the character of war.
General George also testified about the need to stream the funding and budget process to make it more flexible in order for the Army to keep up.
We've got to be able to buy capabilities rather than specific programs so that we can always get our warfighters the best available tech and equipment for the modern battlefield.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I haven't even organized my stack of stuff yet. I just try to go through as much show prep as I possibly can before we kick off the program here in the 6 o'clock hour, because then we're settled in for the day. Then we got to take advantage of every break to keep reading and researching, seeing what's going on out there, getting your great messages, getting your great phone calls. Let me go right to my X account. X.com/Aaron Flint. Read along with me, if you please. So I just shared this about 12 minutes ago. I got a press release in my email inbox from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. President Trump secures trade win for America's cattle producers. Now, I'm assuming our friends Russell Nimitz and Lane Nordland will have a part of this update in their farm and ranch report as well. But here we go. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association announced support for President Donald Trump's trade agreement in principle with the United Kingdom. Most importantly, the agreement includes market access for beef. This announcement follows years of NCBA's hard work building the foundation for a trade deal with the UK, including numerous meetings with British industry stakeholders, members of Parliament, the British Embassy, the UK Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, and other top British authorities. NCBA President Buck Weirbein, a Nebraska cattleman, said this, quote, "With this trade deal, President Trump has delivered a tremendous win for American family farmers and ranchers. For years, American cattle producers have seen the United Kingdom as an ideal partner for trade. Between our countries' shared history, culture, and their desire for high-quality American beef, securing a trade agreement is a natural step forward. Thank you, President Trump, for fighting for American cattle producers." Yeah, this is the first big trade deal being announced here by President Trump and team at the White House yesterday. In fact, let me see here. Peter Mandelson, representing the UK government, had this to say. I believe he's the prime minister. Is he the prime minister? I haven't kept up with British politics as of late here. But Peter Mandelson was in the Oval Office with President Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, and others as this big trade deal between the United States and the U.K. was announced.
You've done what you said you would do. You said to the prime minister when he came and we visited in the Oval, that you would do a good trade deal with the United Kingdom, that you would do it at pace, and that we would be first. And you have delivered that. You know, you've been true to your word. So thank you very much indeed for that.
Yeah, so there, I believe that's the ambassador, actually not the prime minister, but because he was referencing the prime minister. But yeah, you've been true to your word. In other words, let's break it down in American English for you. Promises made, promises kept. President Trump is delivering. And remember, the other major one looming in the background right now is a major trade deal with India, which is huge. The population is outpacing China from a consumer standpoint. You know, and I was just in fact, yesterday it was really cool. Who were we talking with? Who? Oh, it was Representative Jerry Schillinger, who called in at a circle. great, a couple of great phone calls from him yesterday, because he called in the 8 o'clock hour, but we had a guest we had to get to, so I was like, hey, call back in the 9 o'clock hour, too. But he was calling in. You know, he was out spraying his farm as we spoke yesterday. And, of course, you know, I think he's a pulse crop producer, I think wheat as well, if I'm not mistaken. But he was talking about, you know, the Signal Peak, the Bull Mountains coal mine, and, you know, they donated $6 million to get this indoor ice arena going in Billings. And he was talking about how, you know, one of the things they do, and the legislature helped keep this going, is how they clean the coal. Because, you know, when you mine coal, just like when you farm lentils or you farm peas or you farm wheat, you know, you haul that grain down to the, you know, to the terminal, or, and then it's got to be cleaned. You know, in fact, I got to visit that Columbia Grain facility in Plentywood back when we were up in Plentywood for the Farm Expo. So I got to see the whole facility from the inside, how they clean the grain and everything, and it was absolutely incredible. But you think about the peas and lentils, and Montana is the leader in these pulse crops now. When a big trade deal with India is announced, that's going to be huge news for Montana farmers, just like this UK trade deal was huge news for Montana ranchers. J.D. Vance, Vice President J.D. Vance, this one coming from, I believe, from the Trump war room here. Actually, no, this came straight from the vice president himself.
I think we have a great relationship with the United Kingdom. You know, the prime minister, the foreign minister visited a few weeks ago. We had very good conversations with them. I think they were very responsive. I mean, look, President Trump has said very simply all he wants at a lot of these trade negotiations is fairness, is reciprocity. He wants other markets to be as fair to American workers, frankly, as America has been to these foreign workers for decades, in some cases, generations.
All right. Yeah, there we go. That's Vice President J.D. Vance. By the way, beef isn't just good tasting. It's good for you. Why? Because of all the protein in there, not to mention all the other micronutrients, macronutrients, etc. You guys, if you've been listening to this show for some time now, you know this already. You know that beef is not just what's for dinner. Beef is what is great for an ideal diet program as well. So Billings Last Diet is an ideal protein program. And when you're in the program, what I like about it is, hey, I would do my protein, you know, snack for breakfast, protein snack later in the day, a protein packet for lunch along with my veggies. But then for dinner, I could have, you know, Montana beef, because you need the ideal amount of protein in your diet. That's how you maintain your muscle mass, but you focus on burning the fat. It's also how you get all these other nutrients. Anyway. You can learn about that and much more by attending a free seminar with our friends at Billings Last Diet. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751. You can even participate remotely.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Democrats are backpedaling on their support for Kilmar Abrego Garcia. Allegations of violence by Garcia and domestic assault has Democrats pivoting their arguments to whether he received due process. Democratic Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen hustled to El Salvador recently to meet with Abrego Garcia, but Van Hollen altered his message. Quote, "We're not vouching for Kilmar Abrego Garcia. We are vouching for his constitutional rights," said Van Hollen. DNC Chairman Ken Martin said on Fox News Sunday that he wasn't familiar with the particulars of the case, but instead Martin made an argument for immigration reform. He also deflected to President Trump's deportations of graduate students and parents. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries claims he didn't issue an edict barring additional House Democrats from traveling to El Salvador. Democratic Maryland Representative Glenn Ivey said he plans to travel to El Salvador and maybe Honduras. Here's the problem for Democrats. This is all about optics. It may be a worthy pursuit, but it is not a bread and butter issue. The risk for Democrats is that the far left is again commanding most of the attention. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News. I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Democrats are backpedaling on their support for Kilmar Abrego Garcia. Allegations of violence by Garcia and domestic assault has Democrats pivoting their arguments to whether he received due process. Democratic Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen hustled to El Salvador recently to meet with Abrego Garcia, but Van Hollen altered his message. Quote, "We're not vouching for Kilmar Abrego Garcia. We are vouching for his constitutional rights," said Van Hollen. DNC Chairman Ken Martin said on Fox News Sunday that he wasn't familiar with the particulars of the case, but instead Martin made an argument for immigration reform. He also deflected to President Trump's deportations of graduate students and parents. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries claims he didn't issue an edict barring additional House Democrats from traveling to El Salvador. Democratic Maryland Representative Glenn Ivey said he plans to travel to El Salvador and maybe Honduras. Here's the problem for Democrats. This is all about optics. It may be a worthy pursuit, but it is not a bread and butter issue. The risk for Democrats is that the far left is again commanding most of the attention. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, as we've been mentioning for the past week, Angus cattle breeders and enthusiasts from 26 nations are down in Brisbane, Australia, for the 2025 World Angus Forum. And this morning, it's time to check in with our network's Lane Nordland one more time from the event.
26 nations, over 2,500 people coming through the door. It was a packed house for the 2025 World Angus Forum event here in Brisbane, Australia. Producers from across the nation were there discussing about the future of the Angus breed. And during the World Angus Forum, I was able to catch up with treasurer of the American Angus Association and Montana rancher, Daryl Stevenson of Stevenson's Down T Angus. And he shares more about the important role that events like the World Angus Forum play in keeping the Angus breed competitive across the board.
In the fast-paced world that we're living in today, I mean, now there's even more importance with information sharing and data. And 2 years ago, we rolled out the American Angus Association rolled out the World Angus Evaluation, which is a collaborated effort with Canada and Australia so that we're putting everybody on the same playing field. So it's critical for the involvement, and it's a trip of a lifetime.
Cattle, people, innovation, and research. That's been the theme from Sydney to Brisbane as we've traveled on the Angus Trek Tour and ending here in Brisbane for the World Angus Forum. Reporting from Australia, I'm Lane Nordquan.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane, and safe travels home. By the way, we want to say a big thank you to our friends at RotoMix for sponsoring Lane's coverage from the World Angus Forum. Now, the World Angus Forum itself in 2029 is headed right here to the United States, where it will no doubt draw thousands from the Angus business here stateside. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Hello, Scott Stoner here, chair of the Montana Farm Bureau Membership Committee. It's May Membership Month at the Montana Farm Bureau. If you are not a member, this is the perfect time to join. If you are a member, it's the ideal time to recruit your friends and neighbors. Hold a county recruitment tour. Host a Get to Know Us social. Host Farm Bureau activities on social media. There are many ways to get the word out about our influential organization. Or just simply ask someone. Find out about Farm Bureau at mfbf.org. Remember, Montana Farm Bureau, we care for the country.
Good news, beef producers. Consumers' opinions and preferences on beef are becoming more transparent month after month. Your checkoff dollar supports state-of-the-art research that taps into thousands of consumers' eating habits every month to track modern trends in meat demand and other proteins. With this knowledge, the Beef Checkoff can invest your dollars more wisely in future projects, empower the industry, and strengthen beef's place in the market. Get the full story at yourdollardoes.com. Funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Well, hey, it looks like five U.S. states have now officially banned lab-grown meat. Just last week, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte signed a bill prohibiting the manufacture, sale, and even distribution of the product. And earlier this week, Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed a two-year ban into law, followed by strict labeling laws after that law expires. Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi have also enacted their own bans on lab-grown meat, and even Nebraska, as we speak, is currently considering similar legislation. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Cash money. Watching Kash Patel, the FBI director on Capitol Hill over the past couple of days, man, there are some great highlights of his back and forth with these phony Democrats who weaponized the government against the American people, but now they want to pretend that somehow the Trump administration is weaponizing the government. What a bunch of phonies. I had a couple of clips ready to roll yesterday. We just didn't get to it amidst all the ground that we were covering on the show on Thursday. But there's more to follow today, so definitely want to get to that. Plus, we have a guest joining us here in just a few minutes talking about this big trade deal President Trump announced with the UK. Let's sneak in a quick phone call, though. Nancy in Roundup wants to weigh in on the new pope. Nancy, what's your thoughts on the new pope?
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm very impressed. I think he's going to be an amazing influence on the world and help humanity. You know, I felt connected with him immediately as soon as I saw and heard him for the first time. He was born in Chicago, September the 13th, 1960. I think he's going to help reunite the churches here in our country, especially Catholic Church that is severely divided. And he's just a very kind man. And I never was connected with Pope Francis. I always thought that he split the church and he's a socialist. And this man is a moderate in politics.
But I thought you might be worried that he's more of an open borders agenda, you know, especially given some of these NGOs and their involvement with the, you know, human trafficking on our southern borders. I assumed you might have been a little more skeptical, a little more concerned that he might be part of this open borders agenda, which is, I know, something that a lot of folks are concerned about.
I don't think so. He's not going to get away with it. He has done a lot of work in Latin and also in Peru, and he is moderate. I don't think so. He knows better than to do that. I think that he has a good moral compass, more so than Pope Francis did.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to watch, that's for sure. All right, well, great to hear from you here this morning. We got the Fox News update here in just a second. Yeah, I wonder what other folks think. Actually, I need to go in and check our messages on our Montana Talks app as well here. Wonder what other folks have when it comes to reactions from the selection of the new pope. Yeah, he's actually a Peruvian citizen. He spent a lot of time down in Peru in South America and got his Peruvian citizenship. And so it'll be interesting to hear more about his background and his work there. But, yeah, grew up in Chicago. Fox and Friends had some interesting coverage earlier this morning where they were talking about, you know, how one of his neighbors, I thought one of the coolest things was one of his neighbors, when he was just a little kid, one of his neighbors said, "That guy's going to be Pope someday." And here you go. He's the new pope. Pope Leo, I guess, is what they're calling him. All right, Fox News update, and then we got a couple of quick minutes here before we get to our guest, who is the co-chair for the British American Business Association, talking about this big trade deal with the UK. So we'll jump back into it here in 60 seconds. Here's one quick back and forth for you here. Kash Patel wrecked Patty Murray. Patty Murray is the Democrat senator out of Washington State. You know, Washington State, I mean, they just have some of the most embarrassing elected officials in the country. You know, Washington State, you just feel bad for the people that live in eastern Washington because they're a lot like us here in Montana, but unfortunately they're suffering under the mob rule of Seattle and King County, which is why they have so many of these left-wing nut jobs representing the state of Washington. But Kash Patel wrecked Patty Murray. That was the tweet on X by Nick Sartor. Here's a little bit of that back and forth.
Gang cases, 3,000 cases against violent
Well, that's not my question. We know that
you... Well, you asked if I was weaponizing the FBI, and I am not. I'm giving you the hard, concrete examples of the men and women putting handcuffs on bad people, doing harm to our children and innocent Americans.
You have placed on leave FBI employees responsible for the investigation of January 6th. That sounds political to me.
I have not placed anyone on leave who has not violated their ethical obligation or their oath to the Constitution.
So if they were investigating January 6th, you believe they were violating an ethical obligation?
Nope. I think the common theme here is you putting words in my mouth, and I'm not going to tolerate it, nor will the men and women of the FBI.
Well, you did place on leave an analyst responsible for investigating Russia's meddling in the 2016 election. Is that politicization? Is that retribution?
No, not if she broke the law or the ethical guidelines. I don't know which case you're talking about, but that's the standard. And we will hold ourselves inwardly accountable. And we will not be strayed from our mission because people think we are politicizing the Bureau. If you want to talk about someone who was attacked by a weaponized Bureau, you're looking at him. And now he's the director of the FBI and he's cleaning it up.
Well, I would just say to everyone who's listening that the FBI needs to be focused on its mission to keep the entire country safe. It should not be weaponized for partisan political gain. Thank you.
We are.
Yeah, give me a break, Patty Murray. So what Patty Murray is saying here is, hey, We did all the weaponizing of the government under the Joe Biden, John Tester regime of the last 4 years. And you could even go back to the Obama years when you look at what Max Baucus and Barack Hussein Obama were doing with the IRS. And what you could say, and so now what she's saying is, wait a minute, why are you placing some of these FBI officials on leave? Why are some of these people being fired? What she's saying is, hey, we are allowed to weaponize the government against the American people and against our political opponents, and you are not allowed to hold them accountable. Because if you fire the people, or if you place people on leave who violated their oath, who broke the law, who use their position to, against their political opponents or against the American people, Patty Murray's saying, well, you can't hold them accountable, or we're going to claim that you're weaponizing the government. I mean, it's so phony, so fake. All right, I think we've got coming up right after this, we should be talking more about this UK trade deal with the United States. And hey, you guys heard me talk about the beef of the deal. It's good news for American beef, but it's good news for some other American products as well.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this was a pattern you've seen across Europe and even, unfortunately, into the UK, where you had these far-left activists take root, take over control of governments, and of course, open up their borders for mass radical Islamic immigration and much more. And then you've seen these anti-American trade decisions out of so many of these European countries, especially they've been anti-American beef. And a lot of what's driving it is, of course, the radical environmental wackos who want to say that somehow cows are causing climate change. I mean, what a bunch of nut jobs. But they haven't only been anti-American beef. I mean, they've been killing their own cows in parts of Europe. It's insane. But this big trade deal with the United States and the UK is not just good news for American beef. There's unprecedented access to the UK market for other products, according to Howard Lutnick, who is a very senior in the Trump team as well. Breon Wells is the co-chair of the Trade and Policy Committee at the British American Business Association. Great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So what's your thoughts on this trade deal? We're already seeing a positive reaction from the agriculture community back here in Montana. What's the big picture from your perspective?
Yeah, so I think the trade deal is a step in the right direction. I will note that in 2024, the United States enjoyed a $12 billion surplus in our relationship with the UK. And so, you know, if that was bad times, count me in for many more of those. I could use $12 billion surplus. Now, I think that even President Trump and Prime Minister Keir Starmer, acknowledged that while this is a framework, the details still have to be outlined. But some of the things that we have heard initially seem to be positive for the agricultural sector. So about $250 million in agricultural products like beef will be, you know, going in to the UK market. We know that there will be this push to enhance industrial and agricultural market access. But the bigger question is, what's going to happen this weekend in the talks with China? Or what will the trade relationship look like with India and some of these other countries that we have not had as productive of a relationship or a surplus relationship?
Yeah, the India one will be huge. I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, Montana is beef country, but we're also the leader now for pulse crops, you know, lentils and peas and things like that, which are huge in
right.
India. And so that could be huge news here for our Montana farmers. This post on X by Howard Lutnick says, had this to say about the UK trade deal. Unprecedented access to the UK market. We mentioned beef, but also ethanol, cereals, fruit, vegetables, animal feed, tobacco, soft drinks, all sorts of stuff on the area, machinery. So what do you think is the best opportunity for the U.S.? What's the best opportunity for the U.K. here?
So, you know, as I said, on the U.S. side, we already were at an advantage to the tune of $12 billion. So this would actually give us an even larger advantage in the relationship, the trade relationship that we have with the U.K. Now, on the U.K. side, the benefit looks a little bit differently. It's not going to necessarily manifest in as robust an economic benefit as the U.S. is having. But the reality is that since World War II, and this was announced, you know, on what we would call V-Day, right, the commemoration of V-Day, since World War II, the United States has had a large say in how the global economy and the global foreign space, affairs space works. And so the U.K. is dealing with, in this new Trump administration, navigating, you know, this way and their footing. And so you could see that 2 days before the U.S.-U.K. trade deal was announced, the U.K. had a trade deal with India. And so we should read that to say that not just the U.K., but other countries in the world that have traditionally been the U.S.'s allies are looking at new markets and other spaces and countries to be able to get what they need. But they are also trying to maintain an optimal relationship with the United States.
Yeah, very interesting. I see Howard Lutnick now basically saying that this trade deal could amount to a $10 trillion opportunity. Some of the U.K., I guess the U.K. tariffs were 5.1%. Now they're dropping down to 1.8%. So there'll still be some tariffs in place, but a significant reduction there on that front. But Howard Lutnick also saying that the U.K. is the sixth largest economy in the world. Now open to business for our producers, including our Montana ranchers. Breon Wells, great to have you on the show. Thanks for your time this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you want to jump in on the conversation here as well. Let's see. And then you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. I'll go in I see there's one from we've got this like liberal less guy. And all I've ever seen are messages from this liberal less guy. I think he's in Laurel, I think he said before. And if you ever see anything negative about Joe Biden, this guy always whines. And it's just like, dude, do you ever say anything productive? Do you ever have anything to add to the conversation? Or do you just want to whine about what we say about Joe Biden? My goodness. And here's the thing. Oh, really? This crazy old kook, Joe Biden, look at all the harm, look at all the damage, look at all the destruction this guy caused to this country. Oh, but you're offended because we call out Joe Biden's buffoonery on The View yesterday. Really, Les, that's what offends you. The open borders invasion of this country, the men and the women and the children that have been slaughtered during this illegal alien invasion. Oh, but somebody said something mean about the Joe Biden family that enriched themselves on the backs of this country while selling us out to the communist Chinese and selling us out to the Mexican drug cartels. Oh, but no, Les and Laurel's offended that somebody said something mean about Joe Biden. Really, that's what offends you. Well, you know what? You know what, Les? Here's the deal. People like you are the reason our country has been put into such a mess and has been in such a decline now for quite some time. And it's Donald J. Trump and Team Trump that's finally getting America on a path towards success once again. I mean, do you have anything legitimate to say about the issues? Do you have anything to add to the conversation? Or do you just want to whine anytime somebody says something about poor old Joe Biden? He's not poor old Joe Biden. The guy got rich off of we the people, off the tax, off of selling out the American people. He's got a fancy beach house. Does he have you out to his beach house? Is that why you get so offended when somebody says something mean about Joe Biden? Give me a break. These people that get offended because dear leader had something bad said about him. Joe Biden. But they don't get offended by the meth and the cocaine and the young women being, I don't think Lesson Laurel ever sent a message once ever expressing any concern about the young women that were raped and murdered by the illegal aliens in this country. But, oh, say something about Joe Biden and the old pasty kook being on The View yesterday, and all Les gets offended. My goodness, man. Open your freaking eyes at what is happening to this country. Tom Holman. Let's go to Tom Holman. Okay, here we go. So Tom Holman, the border czar, who's working to secure this country, who's working to defend this country. By the way, crazy story out of Gallatin County. I'm going to tell you about Gallatin County standing in the way of ICE. We've got a major update we'll share with you here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But here's Tom Holman talking about a big milestone achieved when it comes to securing and defending this country.
What's your total deportation so far?
Well over 100,000. I mean, I looked at the ICE arrests.
You're over 100,000 now.
Yeah.
So you wanted to take the worst first. Have you gone through the worst?
No, we got a long ways to go.
Well, who else is left?
Well, when we started this thing, it's just shy of 700,000 illegal aliens in this country with a criminal conviction or pending criminal charges. So we got a lot of work to do. I looked at the numbers the other day, just yesterday. ICE, interior enforcement arrests, are just over 75,000, which is three times more than Biden did in the same time frame when he was president. So ICE is making a lot of arrests, but there's more work to do. And actually, we had a series of meetings this past week. We're going to increase the number of the operation teams. We're going to increase work site enforcement. Because of sanctuary cities policy, what we're going to do with sanctuary cities, we're going to flood the zone. So if one agent can't arrest one bad guy in jail, they choose to release him in the community, maybe they're going to send a whole team to look for him. So in sanctuary cities, we're going to flood the zones with agents. And we can't take them in the jail like we should. It's safe to scoot.
All right. Well, let's flood the zone in Bozeman, Montana. Let's flood the zone in Gallatin County. I'll tell you about that big story coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All the hand-wringing and all the skittishness on Wall Street, all of the overreaction, because Donald Trump did what Donald Trump was elected to do. He ran as a disruptor, one that shatters illusions, and he challenges old ways of doing things, deporting illegal immigrants, building a wall, the Ukraine mineral deal. Everything he does is out of the box, and most everything he thinks about doing is big, like peace in Europe, peace in the Middle East. I know there are people that just want him to fail just so they can say, well, You failed. Well, at least he's in there taking a shot and taking a swing. He's up at bat.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, you exhausted every day? Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell. It's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures will range from the mid-70s in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear and quiet. Temperatures head back to about 50 in Bozeman to 53 in Billings. And then looking at more sunshine Saturday with highs from 80 in Bozeman to the upper 80s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, guys, this is very cool. Gordon Chang is one of our nation's leading experts when it comes to China, and he's going to be coming to Montana very soon. You get a chance to hear him speak. You get a chance to see him. He's going to be in Columbus, Montana on June 6th. Then he'll be in Miles City on June 7th. He's also going to join us on Montana Talks. But if you don't know who Gordon Chang is, and if you want to get the details on when both of those events are and how to get tickets, check it out right now. I got the full story, Montana Talks. Fox.com. Yeah, Gordon Chang coming to Montana. So-
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem, Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
When it comes to the legislature, the process is rife with terms that are used so often that they become cliche. And one of those, the one that's most feared by legislators, is when someone declares their bill unfit for prime time. It's a term often heard by freshmen, and it's a way of saying that the bill may be a good idea when viewed at 30,000 feet, but as you dive down into the details, it becomes unworkable, or there's not enough buy-in from stakeholders, or the method for achieving the goal is unconstitutional, or for a myriad of other reasons, it has too many problems to be fixed in the short span of a legislative session. Thus, it's not ready for prime time. It's a kind way of saying your bill needs a lot of work, so go back to the drawing board, fix the problems, and if you still think it's a good idea, then reintroduce a better version in a future session. Some legislators get mad, take their ball, and go home. The smart ones quickly pivot and reintroduce their bill as the subject for a study resolution. If they're successful, the bill will be assigned to an interim committee. This has several benefits. The first is that the idea stays alive rather than falling by the wayside. It becomes part of the conversation going forward and hopefully gains momentum in the run-up to the next session. Another benefit is the fact that the idea will be the subject of a series of hearings between now and the next session. The solution to the problem becomes more refined and workable as stakeholders tackle the sticking points of the original bill, and through that process, opponents often become proponents willing to support the bill when it's reintroduced, which leads to another potential benefit. If all goes according to plan, your bill that was originally deemed unworkable and not ready for prime time could become a bill endorsed by the interim committee, giving it a leg up when the legislature reconvenes. And to that point, although the legislature just adjourned last week, plans are already underway for the 2027 legislative session, and our government affairs team is already monitoring the process. As the interim committees are appointed, we can begin to read the tea leaves regarding next session in a couple of ways. First, there are the subjects that the committees address. As we watch what they're studying, we can get a feel for the bills that will or will not have momentum going into the next session. That's important because, as we've said before, when it comes to the legislature, we have two main jobs: pass the good bills and kill the bad ones. The second benefit of studying the interim committees is that it gives us an insight into who will control key points of the process going forward. In essence, it tells us who the key players are and who's being tapped for key roles in the next session. Serious legislators with leadership potential are given important interim committee assignments, while others are given lesser roles. It's all part of the process. The appointments have begun, and you can monitor the assignments and see the interim committee schedules by going to the legislative website at legmt.gov. That's legmt.gov. To be effective, you must be involved, and our government affairs team is at the Capitol during the session and during the interim, working hard to pass the good bills and kill the bad ones. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlocki reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, Freedom Friday here on Montana Talks. George Blackard will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, Becky Hillier is taking the morning off with us. So we'll have open phones time for the first half, a great guest in the second half. We're going to follow up on that great news update about, you know, that beautiful Montana Coal building that beautiful indoor ice arena. In Billings, Montana. I was thinking ice arena. They need an ice arena in Bozeman as well, but not for hockey. They need an ice arena in Bozeman for all the illegal aliens committing all those crimes in Bozeman and Gallatin County. All right, we'll give you the update on that story and much more coming up here with open phone lines in the 7 o'clock hour, plus another Gutfeld clip on Biden.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many sectors of the economy have been stressed by the whipsaw of tariff policy of late. Having major announcements made using thumbs and smartphones is a new experience for us. But if the recent economic data are any guide, those who forecast the economy may be just as stressed as anyone. It's ironic that the same federal agencies that are in the crosshairs of budget cuts are the ones charged with measuring economic activity. The folks at the Bureau of Economic Analysis still managed to put out the report on first quarter GDP on time, as did their colleagues at the Bureau of Labor Statistics for the report on hiring. The impact of tariffs is everywhere. GDP declined in the first quarter for somewhat quirky reasons. A huge increase in imports that were purchased to get ahead of tariffs count as negative output in those accounts. The employment report was more surprising. Lost in the hoopla of nonstop tariffs policy revisions is the fact that U.S. employers continue to hire and available workers continue to be scarce. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.